You know, choir, my grandfather, who was a stuttering, gregarious southerner, used to say that people come to church for two reasons. The first is they want to hear great music about Jesus, which you all have succeeded this morning, so thank you. And the second reason why people come to church on Sunday is because they want to hear a short sermon. And I hope that I can fulfill both those expectations for you this morning. He is risen. Those words have been shared with Christians ever since the second century. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that's what we're celebrating this morning. Not too long ago, three pastors, they were sitting around a breakfast table. And this was after Easter Sunday, and it was a Monday. And as they talked about their congregation's Easter celebrations, they found themselves talking about death. And finally, the conversation moved to a rather very pointed question. What would you like people to say about you at your funeral? He was a great humanitarian, the first pastor said. The second pastor said, he was a great husband and father, whose example for many to follow. And the third pastor looked at his fellow pastors and said, look, he's moving. Wouldn't you want someone to say that at your funeral? But that is on this resurrection day that we celebrate that Jesus is moving, he's living, breathing. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Mary and the other women. He is no longer dead. He is alive. Jesus came in the flesh. Death was no more for Jesus. In Revelation chapter 1, John the Evangelist hears the words of Jesus when he says, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. If Jesus holds the keys to death, then it means he controls it. He has conquered death. Jesus conquered what many people fear. The cross, which was a conquering symbol for Romans of oppression and death, is now a symbol of everlasting life. For us Christians, the cross is a symbol of God conquering everything wrong with the world in order that we might be saved. The cross is a symbol in which we Christians celebrate. In Peggy Noonan's book, When Character Was King, she tells of a meeting between then President George W. Bush and President Vladimir Putin of Russia. It was their first meeting as world leaders. And Bush wanted to be sure that they were going to be connected together, that they would look for soul and depth and character in one another, and not simply just a political meeting. George W. brought up a story that he had read about Putin years ago. In the story, he read how Putin's mother had given him a Christian cross that Putin had blessed while in Jerusalem. Bush was very touched by the story. Putin told a story in response. He said he had taken to wear that cross every day. But one day he set that cross down when he was visiting someone. And while he was out, the house burned down. And all Putin could think about was that cross in the rubble. He was unable to find that cross. And he asked people to look for it. To look for this cross that his mother had given him. And finally, after many days, a worker found the cross and showed it to him. Putin told Bush, it was as if something meant for me was lost and now it was found. So then Bush said, to present Vladimir Putin. It was almost as if that was meant for you. He said, Mr. Putin, President Putin, that's what it's all about. That's the story of the cross. It's for you. The story of the cross was intended for you. The story of Bush and Putin illustrates that Christianity is not just a faith about kindness or good works or religion. It is a faith that shares and preaches forgiveness. The cross takes very seriously how the forgiveness of sins is granted through Jesus Christ. The cross is a symbol of forgiveness. It is not a symbol of guilt. These past 6 weeks in Lent, I've been preaching on this topic of forgiveness. And it is a topic that most Christians know about, but they find it difficult to master the execution of forgiveness. Anger, grudges, broken relationships hinder forgiveness. Many think that forgiveness is the same thing as reconciliation. It is not. Reconciliation happens after forgiveness. Forgiveness, to put it this way, is the letting go. The letting go of the right to get back at someone. Suspending retribution. That's what forgiveness is. This is why Jesus died on the cross. In John chapter 20, as Mary discovered that the stone had been rolled away from the tomb, what did she do? She almost panicked. She thought that someone had stolen Jesus' body. And as she runs to tell the other disciples, they too see. But in verse 10, look what happens. They go back to their homes. But Mary, she stays. Mary stays and encounters angels who ask, Woman, why are you weeping? She in turn gets to encounter Jesus. Why did Jesus and the angels ask of this of Mary, Woman, why are you weeping? Well, Mary was thinking about earthly things, flesh, death, anointing, grief. Jesus and the angels knew that Jesus had conquered death and more. He began the work of the world's forgiveness. As I mentioned throughout my preaching series on forgiveness, forgiving someone is challenging, isn't it? It's challenging. Author Corrie ten Boom told a wonderful story of forgiveness once. If you know anything about Corrie ten Boom, you know that she was a Christian who was held in a Nazi concentration camp until just a few days after the Allies had conquered Germany in World War II. When she had left that camp, she was filled with hate of the people who tormented her and demeaned her. But slowly, very, very slowly, over time, she learned to forgive them in her heart. And she found it actually to be a very liberating experience. All that hatred inside of her, it went away. Her load was lightened. Her world was brighter now. So she began preaching forgiveness. And she traveled into Holland. And she traveled into France talking about forgiveness and her experiences. And finally, she came to Germany. And the German people were very, very eager to hear her message of God's love and forgiveness. And how, when we forgive one another, we free ourselves. But after one day she gave a talk, a German soldier walked up to her and he put out his hand and said, Fraulein Tambum, I'm so glad that Jesus forgives us all of our sins, just as you say. Well, Corrie Ten Boom recognized him as one of the soldiers in her concentration camp. He regularly forced women to take showers while he looked on, leering at them, helpless. It was a moment of crisis for Ten Boom. All of that hate, all of that anger suddenly returned, and it rose up like a tsunami to knock down everything she had been preaching about. She had still hated the Nazi, that soldier, for what he had done to her in the concentration camp. She knew what she had to do. She knew that it was just weakness on her part. She knew she had to forgive this man for what he had done. And she prayed in her mind at that moment. She said, "Jesus, I can't forgive this man. Forgive me." And in that instant, Ten Boom writes that she instantly felt forgiven. And her hand went up to take the hand of her former enemy. And in that moment, several miracles occurred. God had forgiven Corrie Ten Boom. And Corrie Ten Boom released the German from his guilt. And Ten Boom herself truly felt liberated from her hate and embraced forgiveness. See, friends, that's what forgiveness is. It is liberation of hate and revenge. However, I really think this, many of us as humans, we loathe forgiveness. Much like death, we approach it with dread. The grief of wrongdoing overshadows the pain of confronting someone and to say to them, "I forgive you." We struggle with this, these words, "I forgive you." Why? Because the wounds are too great. The wounds inflicted by someone else, emotional wounds that remind us of our wrongdoer, like the Nazi in Corrie Ten Boom's story. Have you ever had a wound before? I mean, like a physical one. Last year, I experienced one of the most painful things in my life. Because of a firework mishap, and we won't get into that right now, my left hand was severely burned. Second degree burn. I had to go to the hospital, the emergency room. It was painful. And the mishap left a burn about the size of a credit card on my palm. And it hurt so bad that I thought it would never, ever heal in my life. But it did. It took 3 months for it to heal. And to this day, my hand is not the same, but my hand has been restored. Pain from physical wounds are very similar to emotional wounds. There's pain, there's trauma, there's agony. Mary felt this as she discovered an empty tomb. There was real pain there that she felt. But when we think about wounds, just as physical wounds leave a scar, emotional pains leave emotional scars. Jesus, in his resurrected state, had wounds, and we know this because of the gospel accounts after the resurrection. Why, in all of the worlds that God could imagine, if you were brought back to life, why wouldn't God restore Jesus into a perfect body? Why the wounds? Why show Thomas the wounds? Well, I think it's because wounds, whether physical or emotional, serve as a reminder of a past hurt. The body can heal, but not perfectly. Wounds serve as a reminder not to do something again. And wounds serve as a reminder that when we are hurt, we must attempt to heal our emotional wounds, the ones that we feel in our hearts. What's left are emotional scars. And it reminds us that we were hurt, but we must be healed and reconciled. Jesus endured pain for us. The cross was painful, but the gain was greater. You and I are forgiven. Today, we celebrate Jesus' victory over death, his victory over sin, forgiveness conquered perfectly. Today, may you live because forgiveness was conquered by Jesus Christ. The wounds of Jesus remind us that we are not to take for granted the forgiveness that God gives us. And may you, as a gift, forgive others as God has forgiven us. Begin today of healing your wounds. Look towards the cross. It is a reminder, not of guilt, but of forgiveness. Forgiveness is granted through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness conquered. So go on this Resurrection Sunday and forgive one another as God has forgiven you. He is risen. Let us pray. Lord, it's such a great thing to celebrate that we are forgiven. Lord, help us not see the symbol of the cross or the resurrection as guilt or of pain, but help us, Lord, to see the cross as Jesus conquering forgiveness, that just as Jesus, through his death and resurrection, we are forgiven. Lord, help us to forgive one another. Lord, help us to give up that right to be angry at someone, to give up the right of retribution, and to just let it go, to give it up to you so that we can move on with our lives. Help us not carry the burden of death and destruction and grief. But Lord, begin to heal our emotional wounds for us to look towards the great physician for help to be able to forgive and to be able to love one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.